Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Followers, friends, fans, family members, not in that order, of course, and the universe, welcome to The Only Way Out is In. And it's based on one of the books, award-winning books that I've written. And I'm sharing today, I call it my story hour, even though it's only 30 minutes with you all. And I'm going to read today from Chapter 9 for you. And we... Before each chapter, we have a statement, a very positive statement that we share in the book for each chapter. And this one is from Neville Goddard. There is a simple formula. Take your attention from your present conception of yourself and place it on that ideal of yours, the idea that you have heretofore thought beyond your reach. He's one of my mentors, even though he's been deceased, I guess, since, I don't know, 1950s or somewhere between 1950s and 70s. He's been my mentor and, of course, many millions, but I feel a personal connection with him. So Chapter 9, we have entitled it, or I have entitled it, as The Secret Realm of Hidden Manna, and my book contains the 14 realms, which there are many, many, many more, but the 14 realms to love, happiness, and success. Our Spiritual Food, subtitle. We wrote a book, my husband and I, called Hidden Manna back in 1983. It was our first book to write together. Manna is the biblical name for the food that was made available to the children of Israel while they were in the wilderness during those 40 years. We called our book Hidden Manna because we believe that's what dreams are. They're messages from the Holy Spirit, and the message is hidden spiritual food behind the symbols of dreams and in dreams. There's hidden food for our spirit all around us if we but keep our eyes open for it and believe it's among the illusions. When we graduated from living on the streets into our living quarters late October, early November of that year, which was the same year we were married, our first residence was a motel room in the Newton Motel in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. There was a full-size cot bed, broken tile flooring, an unfurnished shower, cement floor and walls. There was no running water in the shower. We couldn't have used it anyway in that condition. There was a small sink in the bathroom, and we washed our dishes, our pots and pans, our clothes and bodies in this sink. At separate times, of course. A little humor there. We got our first jobs at the John Knowles factory. We cut out wooden pieces for antique phones and put them together. We could get up in the morning and walk about 5 minutes to the factory. The manager of the motel allowed us to wait on payment for our room until we got our first paycheck from the factory. It was through one of the members we used to play with on Chestnut Street that we found out about this motel. Chris and I talked about whether we should continue playing music together, and if so, what should we call ourselves? That night I had a vision through a dream, and I saw a white business card that read, Abraham's Seed. There were clouds under the neem, and there was rain from the clouds that provided nourishment to seven flowers below. We used that vision and created it on our business card eventually. That vision was seen as the answer to our prayer. We had already known we were Abraham's seed, and that established that fact that this was the true answer for us. Abraham, meaning faith and an exalted state of mind. We had no car to get to any gigs, but as fate would have it, the universe placed us directly across from the street from a community college. We started going over there to get out of the motel room. We'd go to the library there and then bring the books to the lounge area, or we'd just go and get some tea. Pretty soon we got to meet the right people, those who were in charge of hiring bands, solos, and duos for the college. So we were hired on several occasions by the college and started getting a following from that area. Being in this small town was not as remote as we thought at first. We found there was a small country train station. We could walk to it and arrange to get the Reading train, and that would take us to Philadelphia for possible gigs. Philadelphia was where we could get to audition for better paying jobs and get hired. Once we got the gigs there, we would have to take our two guitars, our amplifier that cost about $50 from a pawn shop, and ride the train to Philadelphia. We had to make sure the gig was over in plenty of time for us to ride the train back or the bus back to the Reading station and not miss the train. Otherwise, we'd be sleeping on a bench somewhere or staying up in a late-night restaurant drinking tea with all of our equipment. Sometimes we'd go for an audition and not get the gig that night. We had to scramble to get the train fare back by playing on the streets. When we were married, the day we were married, one of the members of the band that we played in stole money that we had been saving up. That was going to be our rent, and it was also going to be like a small honeymoon. And it would have been a small honeymoon for the amount of money we had saved up. But it was enough to pay our rent and a few extra treats for ourselves. Well, the money was stolen, and we were left to live on the streets from July 31st to late, early October, which is what I was talking about. And this show is about graduating from that level of consciousness and thinking that we were in poverty. No Heat in the Inn is my next subtitle. Fall was approaching quickly, and there was no heat in the motel. We had a space heater and sometimes slept in our clothes to keep warm. The nearest store for food was 2 miles into town over a bridge. As we crossed over the bridge to buy food, the wind would be whipping through us as if we were mesh screens. Sometimes after it had snowed, it would be about 3 feet deep. We would still have to walk there and back with the groceries. Toes, noses, and fingers would start to turn numb and red. We had no refrigerator in the motel, so we only bought products that did not need refrigeration. We'd buy potatoes or food that would last several days without the need for one. We would spend $5 for food a week, and we would always buy fruit, always potatoes, and sometimes a little treat if we had a little extra. Meat would have spoiled, so that was not on the list. Sometimes, as we'd be walking in this freezing cold, wet weather, I would think I could not possibly take another step. I would not go without him to the store, and he would not go without me because it was such a distance. And that's just how our relationship developed. We decided to be with each other as much as possible on all possible occasions. And after 35 years, that's still what we do. I didn't last very long at the factory job. It was so monotonous and boring. I found myself dozing off to sleep and had to catch myself many, many, many times. I thought to myself, how could I possibly do something that I don't like just for the money? It was $4.25 per hour. The company didn't want to pay a married couple to work there anyway full time, so I was only there part-time. It was a hard decision to make, but I felt like I was prostituting myself, and I didn't need to do that any longer. Chris couldn't understand, but he didn't try to force me to stay. It was boring for him, too, but he kept working at it. I think he lasted there maybe a month or two longer than I did. Things started to change financially for us about December of 79, and I received a check for $1,600 from the house my former husband sold. I didn't squabble about what was sent. I had not even expected anything, so when it came, we just rejoiced, and we gave thanks to God for it. We started looking for an apartment in the next town where we had to walk to for groceries. It was Doylestown, Pennsylvania. We found an apartment and we had the security for it. It too had no refrigeration, but there was a bedroom, a kitchen with cabinets and a sink. There was a bathroom with bare minimum decor and a living room with a closet. We knew we had enough rent for at least 2 months. We didn't know what we would do after that. This place had heat, but again, we had to put veggies on the roof outside on the ledge of the window to keep food from spoiling. We'd pack the food in the snow when it had snowed, and that was our refrigeration from the universe. I went to apply for food stamps at the welfare office in Doylestown, and my application was accepted. I felt a little embarrassed to have to use help like that, but we did it. Chris found a job driving a taxi. It was a part-time one and not much work. I'm exaggerating here, but Doylestown appeared to have about 100 people there and no one needed a taxi. There was a diner in a small mall, a Woolworth store in the center, and on Fridays, we'd walk down to the diner and treat ourselves to a dinner. Chris would start or could start his taxi job late in the morning, so we'd always have time to share our dreams and interpret them. And our dreams would be interpreted for us through the Holy Spirit's guidance. We received a lot of help about what was happening in our inner selves through these dreams. That helped us and still does tremendously. We started putting a glossary of terms together for a book on dreams, and then the material to help people understand their dreams started coming through. And we called our book, like I said before, Hidden Manna. And our book helped heal us each day in mind, body, and spirit. We found a typewriter at the community college across the street and typed the manuscript. We had it copied, and I drew the cover. After scrimping to save for an ad for Hidden Manna, we placed our ad in the Whole Life Times magazine out of California. We sold our book through that magazine as orders came pouring through in just 1 month. As we saw time closing in on us for rent that would be due soon and money dwindling, we decided we needed to advertise for a roommate. We put an ad up in the community college across from the old motel. A man our age answered the ad. We didn't know he had ulterior motives until he was there for a few weeks. Next thing we knew, he started having his girlfriend come and sleep over for a few nights. Then it was every night, and he was not paying for rent to be there, for her to be there. The right solution came to us, and it's amazing. I'll continue it on next Thursday when we have more time. We'll have 30 minutes there, and I'll explain about the right solution that came and how Never Goddard played a large part in our lives at that time. Thank you so much for joining us. If you look on our page, paterand.com, you'll find information about our books, how to purchase them, and they're at a discount right now. Instead of being $19.95, I think you'll find them at $9.95 or a little bit less. Our music is available, and I want to thank you all again for listening, and please join in for the second part next Thursday. Namaste. God bless you all. I want to thank you for joining and listening, and I hope you can join in next Thursday for part 2.